1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We want to get a pretty good, if we can, snapshot of how the weekend went economically. Memorial Weekend is traditionally the kickoff to the summer months. It's, going to be a kind of a dicey summer with the cost of fuel. Is the economy truly turning around, or do we have ourselves sort of just stuck in a holding pattern? Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods. And Memorial Weekend, as I said, Robert, is the kickoff to the summer. In terms of the actual sales of the grocery and retail business, how did you do?
We had a great weekend, Phil. It could have been a little bit better, but I think in some ways we're very, very pleased. We've got a 10,000 square foot store in Buena Park, and as you mentioned, Memorial Weekend is the traditional beginning to summer buying. It's certainly a time when we in the grocery and retail business see increased sales.
It's traditionally a time, I guess, when people are buying picnic fare.
Absolutely. We get into the store very early, and we put the flags up. We try to make it an experience. It's something that I personally enjoy. We have red, white, and blue bunting, and out in the parking lot, we have a number of samples being offered in the stores. Our checkers are there at their registers when we open. I get there early. I help out with the produce. I even tend to shuck some of the corn myself. We like to leave the other half in their husks. I'm there taking the ends off of lettuce. So I work as hard as I can, as do my employees, to make this a successful weekend. And it isn't really just about the sales either. I want everybody to know that we get in there because we just enjoy Memorial Weekend, because it's a great statement in honor of our soldiers.
And it's a weekend that people are honoring the dead, but they're also having a good time with picnics.
And the other thing is that it's traditional, as you say, traditional kickoff to summer. It's a real American weekend, and you get in there with a certain mindset. And on Saturday, of course, we had a little bit of a shock when we've got a lot of these items priced so that we can see a little bit of profit. We mark up some of our steaks, some of our tri-tip roasts, our watermelon, and so on, because we know that people are going to be buying that.
All right, so you're looking to take a little bit of profit there.
That is correct. And this past weekend, what threw me for a little bit of a loop, a gentleman walked in, and I was at the customer service desk, as I remember, and Bill Armitage, who is working in our produce department, said, well, this guy wants to talk to you. And he walks in, and he asked me where he could find pinto beans. And it's one of those moments where you feel as if, you know, you'd been buoyed along feeling really great, and suddenly someone comes along and ties a lead weight to you. And
well, what do you mean? The guy was asking for pinto beans?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we've been there since 3 a.m., along with eight of the overnight guys. We're stocking shelves with Memorial Weekend Fare. Maybe I should describe what that is.
Are you talking about traditional American fare?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about our tri-tip roasts, our seedless watermelon, which we've got this week at 54 cents a pound. We've got the Johnsonville brats. We have Hebrew international hot dogs, Oscar Mayer hot dogs. We've got, and in walks this guy who wants, he's asking me, where are pinto beans? And
So what does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, he's not eating an American Memorial Weekend meal, and we're showcasing these.
So when he asked you where the pinto beans were, that was not something, obviously, that was marked up?
It's not marked. We know that people are going to be buying because it's Memorial Weekend. That's when you eat hamburgers, hot dogs, potato chips. Our deli has four kinds of potato salad. We've got two different kinds of coleslaw. And he's avoiding the items that we're showcasing, that they're higher ticket items. And then he decides he's going to further make the situation worse by buying what appears to be Mexican food. So I had Joey Alvarado, one of our stockers.
Why do you say make the situation worse?
Because this guy walks in, I'd say he's about 55. He was
So we could just get off of him.
No, but I want to describe the guy. He's about 55. He's got on a baseball cap. He looked like he might be one of these gentlemen who might have some money. He's wearing shorts and sneakers. Joey Alvarado is one of our stalkers, is what I'm saying.
Right. And I don't need to know so much about the guy as to the problem you had with him buying pinto beans. right?
Well, let me explain to you what I did. I had Joey follow him, which is not uncommon. We do keep an eye on some shoppers. He went for the pinto beans, and they were the dried pinto beans, which are even less than the ones in the can. He went and got corn and flour tortillas. He bought some grated Mexican cheese.
Well, it sounds to me like he wanted to have tacos or make himself some kind of a fajita. In other words, he was going to...
Well, that's it, exactly.
Well, so he's going to have a Mexican meal.
All right, but what I'm trying to tell you is we had sliced American everywhere. He bought the lower-end hamburger meat. You know,
Okay. Let me give our phone number out here, Mr. Green. I want to find out at the genesis of the problem.
Well, there is no problem. The problem was it's Memorial Weekend. Hamburgers, hot dogs, coleslaw, watermelon.
I understand.
Tri-tip roast.
I understand.
And this guy walks up to me and says, "Where are your pinto beans?" And I don't know.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Robert Green about the weekend, the Memorial Weekend business at the grocery level. What difference does it make what the guy's buying? You're saying you wanted to buy only American?
Well, the guy walks into my store on Memorial Weekend and asks, "Can you tell me where the pinto beans are?" Pinto beans are what Mexicans eat, and they're not what Americans who've done most of the fighting and dying for the freedom-loving people in this world eat, all right? And the Memorial Weekend prices reflect a normal person's interest in American-style food. So two things are going on. Number one, by not buying American, he is sort of cheating me out of a reasonable profit, and we're not gouging anybody. Again, I said the watermelon's 54 cents a pound. I've got a beautiful tri-tip roast. You can get a 3-pound tri-tip roast for $9. But on top of that, he is, you know, asking me for pinto beans after I was there at 3 a.m. putting up bunting in a parking lot. So I moved our number three checker, and I checked these guys' groceries myself.
All right, hold on for a minute, because there's a lot of things happening here. I wanted to know, was business good?
Business was good. It could have been better. But when you got a guy walking in who wants corn tortillas, see, this is the thing that I guess I would say more than anything else, Phil, is the way Americans are shopping and eating is an indication, really, of how strong we are as a country in terms of the other problems we've got.
Explain.
Well, I mean, if we're eating...
Because I think what you're going to tell me is if we're eating Mexican food, then we're not as strong a country.
Well, I'm just saying, it's Memorial Weekend, and a guy says, "Tell me where the corn tortillas are, and have you got albondiga soup and a lot of this Mexican stuff." How willing are we to fight terrorism?
I don't disagree. I don't see the point that you're making.
Well, I asked the guy to if he knew what weekend it was, and he said it was Memorial Weekend.
All right. You know, it's an interesting thing. As a retailer, you're asking, "Well, gee, would you please buy American food? You're buying pinto beans."
Well, my entire staff was geared up for the weekend. We all put a lot of effort in the decorations, the American theme, the memorial theme, the taste stations at every end of the aisle, all featured American cheeses and sausages. For a guy to walk into my store and come up to me, and I'm the manager of the store, and say, "Can you tell me where your pinto beans are?" And he's 6'1", staring down at me. It put a damper on how I felt and how a lot of the people in the store felt about being American. And I think that...
Well, wait, if you're talking about one guy coming in and asking for pinto beans...
Well, it wasn't just pinto beans. It was, in other words, he wanted to have a Mexican meal on one of the most American weekends.
All right, Robert Green is with us, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I know that you had an encounter with this guy, a verbal encounter?
Yes, I did.
All right, I'll ask you about it, but I simply want to say this. It is not traditional, it doesn't feel traditional, for a grocer to become all that concerned with what people buy.
Well, I think more grocers should.
But it sounds... Why is that? Why do you say that?
First of all, because if they are buying the food they ought to be buying, they are supporting our culture, and they're also helping make an American business money. If they bought tri-tip roast, hamburgers, hot dogs, watermelon, I make money, they're eating like Americans, and they're not walking in here insulting me and everybody that works a register saying, where are your pinto beans? Jesus.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know the guy. Was he going to talk to you about this, Janice? I mean, a guy's talking about pinto beans. I mean, I happen to like pinto beans, and I happen to like corn tortillas and all that stuff. Selling Mexican food on Memorial Weekend for this grocer not only cut into his profits, but it also insulted him because he'd been there since 3 a.m. putting up red, white, and blue bunting and getting into the mood. Now, he also had an encounter, I'm led to believe, with this man that bought the, he says, pinto beans, corn tortillas, some salsa, and also some low-end hamburger meat that was 25% fat, and they had on sale at $1.75 a pound. Now, he claims the entire purchase was under $20, which meant that it cut into his profits, but on top of that, it was all Mexican food. Does this matter on Memorial Weekend? We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got Robert Green with me from Fraser Foods. We're talking about how business was this past Memorial Weekend at the retail, grocery and retail level, and it was good. The instance of any customer walking into the store and asking for foods, he walked up to your, this gentleman walked up to your customer service desk and said, where are the pinto beans? It was at that time that you reacted rather strongly because it was a Memorial Weekend. It was people shopping.
Well, I felt most of the people were in there shopping for the foods that you would traditionally, you know, you're supposed to shop for. You know, they were in there getting on. I'll give you an example. We were selling a lot of cherry pies. We were selling a lot of fruit. We were selling a lot of the plums and peaches and watermelons. But when you have a man come into your place of business, when you're in the grocery business, someone walks up to you and says, can you tell me where your seaweed wrap is? Now, I know what seaweed wrap is, and I know what it's used for. It's used.
What is that?
Well, it's used for wrapping what they call these sushi rolls. But I went ahead and I asked him, well, what do you want with it? And I didn't say it like that, but I said, what do you want? What do you want it for? And they said, we're making sushi. And I try to drag it out a little bit. I don't want to show them directly to where that aisle is because I do take it very seriously, my job, and that is to not only make a profit, but I don't know where she gets off coming in and wants to make sushi. This is...
Well, it is Memorial Weekend, but it isn't your job, is it, to tell people what to eat?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit more to it than that.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green is with us. Joanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I, with the reference to it being Memorial Day weekend, don't you understand that people are dying so that people like your shoppers have the choice to come in and choose what they want?
Well,
they don't have to be dictated to and told what to purchase.
Oh, I totally understand the sacrifice. We, probably better than any grocery retail chain, devote a portion of our profits this time of the year to certain veterans groups. So how come, it's depressing to have someone walk in and say, hi, can you tell me where I could get the Chinese noodles?
I think that you are stupid.
I don't understand
that. I really think that you are totally missing.
Excuse me, wait a minute. Did you call me stupid?
You need to understand.
Well, listen.
Our country is built on diversity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, then, where do you get off telling somebody what's American and what's not American?
Well, because...
That would be my question, Bob. It is a diverse country.
It is a diverse country, but it's Memorial Weekend, and a lot of guys... You know, I can tell you that my father was a fighter pilot in the South Pacific in the Second World War. That means he was shooting at Japanese pilots. Now somebody comes in on Memorial Weekend and says, oh, yeah, I want to make seaweed wrap.
So what about the Japanese Americans that are fighting for our country? My daughter's best friend was just killed in Iraq. Perhaps you heard of him, the Tillman young man.
I don't know who that is, no.
Telling us that his death was in vain.
Who was this again?
Pat Tillman.
Pat Tillman.
No, I don't know who it is.
He was a very, he was a well-known young man. He left professional football.
His football career.
Well, was he Chinese?
To go and die for our country.
So he was Japanese?
No.
What are you talking about?
Born and bred American, Tillman.
No, you said he was Japanese.
No, what I'm saying is, what about the Japanese Americans and the Chinese Americans and all of the Hispanic Americans?
Well, what about them?
You're
I mean, they can eat whatever they
want.
They
have no right to have
Are you saying, Robert, that the guy that walked in and asked for the pinto beans, was he an European American?
He was not what you'd expect. Yeah, he was a big, tall, white guy, and he says
it makes no difference.
Well,
it's irrelevant.
First of all, if the man's name is Tillman and he's Japanese, that means that his mother was white.
No,
Pat Tillman is a European American, as far as I can tell.
Correct.
He
was
not
born
that
in
guy,
the United States.
Pat Morita.
He gave up his career
Pat Morita
as
was
a football player to go and fight for his country.
Look, let's play a little game. One of these things is not like the other, all right? Tri-tip.
They're exactly
pinto
alike.
Beans. Tri-tip
They're
pinto
exactly
beans.
Alike. They're exactly alike. They're a food of our diverse culture.
Tri-tip has nothing to do with pinto beans.
Although,
who are you to say that pinto beans are not American?
They are a traditionally a served Mexican dish, especially refried. The tri-tip is $63 if you want to get the full family pack. The tri-tip's $239. So I get hosed because you want to get diverse. Thanks a lot.
Where is your store?
Yeah.
I'm in Buena Park, California.
I cannot believe that you're still in business. It is beyond my comprehension that people would frequent your store. I would work against having you be in business.
Ma'am, I got a very good...
You are so un-American, I cannot believe...
I'm un-American.
Yeah,
you want somebody to walk into my store on Memorial Weekend and say, yeah, give me some food that the Jap pilots ate before they shot Pearl Harbor up. And
hold on for just a minute. Jap pilots?
I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Well, you said it.
Well, the fact is, that lady wants a guy to walk into my store and say, I'd like some of that food those Japanese,
what do you call the guys that fly
in and blow themselves up?
You know, Kamikaze. You are damn lucky that they come in your store to buy anything.
How come
they are the ones that are putting food on your table.
You're putting food on my table. Wait a minute. I put food on your... I'd like to have the food, please, that the kamikaze guys ate
just
before they flew into the Pearl Harbor.
All right, look, Joanne, thank you for your call. I want to get a little more to the bottom of this. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Green, your politics aside, I should have every right to walk into your store.
And you do. You do.
But the fact is, you confronted this man, didn't you?
I told our number three checker, Doreen, I want to take over this guy's order. So I started checking, and as I was checking and looking at stuff, I said, So, you having yourself a little Mexican meal? He says, yeah. I said, you know what weekend this is? And he looked at me and he smiled. He says, yeah, it's Memorial Weekend. I said, so you're eating this. And now he doesn't say anything to me. So I said to him, unless you're prepared to honor America's war dead by coming in here and eating something decent instead of beans and habanero chilies, I'd rather you not come back in my store. And to his credit, he recognized where he had gone wrong and he thanked me.
He actually acknowledged?
He acknowledged, you're right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Robert Green about people coming into a store on Memorial Weekend and buying Japanese and Mexican food.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You're a butt log with legs.
One 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bob Green joins us. He's with Fraser Foods. We were talking about the retail, the grocery and retail business this weekend. You did very well. You could have done better. You had a man come in and ask for pinto beans and corn tortillas and this kind of thing when you're traditionally selling American-style picnic food on a Memorial weekend. You confronted this man, and you say that he went ahead and saw your side of it.
Look, I said to him, and this guy, was, like I said, was around 6 foot, 6 foot one. I'm 5'7½", but I told him, you come into my store, and you think this is some kind of, what is it? You think it's some Mexican fiesta on Memorial weekend, you could shop somewhere else in the future. And I can tell you, he looked like he was going to wet his pants, and I guarantee he thought about everybody he took with that meal that night. And he got his groceries, and I told him, and as he was leaving, I said, hey, you, and you can ask anybody. I said, hey, you, and he's turned around, and he said, yes, and I said, you remember what I said, no coming back, and he said, yes, sir.
He said, yes, sir.
Absolutely. In a lot of ways, he recognized me as an authority. I've got 20 years with Fraser Foods, Phil, before that, 5 years with Vons. I've got a plastic manager's badge that I've worked for a long time, and on it, it says, Fraser Foods, Bob Green, may I help you? And those words, may I help you, I take very seriously. As in, I'm going to help you. Now, if you turn around after I help you, and you decide that you want to spit directly into my face, after, and I'm not just talking about saliva, I mean mucus.
Well, what difference does that make, sir? The idea that this man wanted to buy pinto beans and was banned from the...
Look, Phil, all I'm saying, I'm just saying it is a shock to all of us in the grocery business on Memorial Weekend to be preparing red, white, and blue displays to have every manner of Americana represented symbolically in your store. It is shocking. When you've just gotten done, for instance, putting together a beautiful cherry pie display, to have someone all of a sudden walk up and say, yeah, hi, can you tell me where those fried Chinese noodles are? And what we have requested and what the retailers and the grocery retailers of America have requested, at least, that you call ahead on a Memorial weekend or a 4th of July weekend and say, I'm going to be in your store and I'm going to be asking for, you know, bean dip or something like that.
So is what? Not to shock the people?
So to give the people a little bit of respect that are working in the store. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is William. You're on the air with Robert Green on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. What is it? I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. I hope I don't lose her. I'm on a cell phone.
Yes, sir.
The point that I want to ask you is that, one, do you realize that the majority of the foods that you carry in your store, be they beans, potatoes, tomatoes, squash, basically come from, and I'm Native American, that's why I'm bringing this up to you, is that I'm Cherokee. And the majority of the foods, the world had never even seen before. That's American. And when the first pilgrims came here, we fed those guys that came off that boat called the Mayflower, not because we wanted to force it down their throat, is because that's what we had to offer.
A seaweed wrap, that's not American. That's what the guys that, you know, the Japanese and them. So
well,
you don't
eat
that on Memorial Weekend. Now, you say you're an Indian, right?
I'm Cherokee. I'm a human being.
I didn't say you were a human being. I thought you said you were an Indian.
No, that's your name, Los Indos. That's from the Latin. Let's get it straight.
No, Indian means child of heaven in the Latin, which is a very respectful term.
We call ourselves human beings, okay? And the basic thing that
I don't know whether you're really an Indian or whether you just
saw
little big man more times than you should have, but I'm trying to say that... you claim to be an Indian.
Look, gentlemen, let's get back to the point.
You're the reason why affirmative action needs to be
in place. Let's get back to the point, okay?
Okay,
here's the point. The point is, on Memorial Weekend, you walk into my store and you say, let's say you're what? I'm sorry, what'd you say it was?
Cherokee, but you know what? Okay. Here's the thing.
Let's say you come in and you go, where's the maize?
What if he was buying products for a guest of his at his barbecue?
What's that, sir?
What if he was buying those items to serve a guest of his at a barbecue?
I think he can buy those anywhere he wants. You walk into my store on Memorial Weekend, I'm going to say something about it. Now, let's say you walked in and you said, where's your maize? And you try to give me some of this Indian talk, and I'll say, we call it corn.
No, actually,
I say, Lou. All right, I say, well, you know what? It's corn.
That's what it's called.
The point that I'm trying to get is the foods you carry are American. America is about everything.
Look, sir, if I end up just selling pinto beans and Chinese noodles on Memorial Day, I may as well use the American flag as the drop sheet while we boil the melons for the fruit salad.
That's very anti-American, but let's put it this way.
Well, you're the guy that wants me to
buy. How many? Was he the only person that bought pinto beans?
There were a few people that day that walked in and they were buying what I call unusual off-market items on a Memorial weekend.
But the majority of your customers, what did they buy?
A lot of our guys went down fighting your people. You know that, don't you?
No.
The U.S. Army, a lot of guys went down.
A lot of your guys died invading our people.
But that's our point. Well, I see.
That's our point.
Well,
the point
that I'm
trying to make is...
Look, guys, I don't want to get into an argument about the little bighorn or anything else.
Well, this guy's trying to tell me that on Memorial weekend I'm supposed to eat... something that Indians eat. And we had a sign outside.
American.
No, we had a sign outside Fraser Foods that said, "Fraser Foods, your Memorial Weekend food supplier." He sees that sign, and yet he walks in and says, "Where's your bean dip and habanero chilies?"
Wait a minute. Where is my buffalo meat? Why don't you have that on hand?
I got your buffalo meat.
All right.
Well, I mean...
I don't need that, sir. 1-800-449-8686. There's Gilbert. I just hung up on Gilbert. Sorry, Gilbert. And, look, I tell you what I will do.
Look, the point is, mister, if I could say one thing.
Go ahead, but I do have to wrap this up.
Look, the grocery business is a very competitive business. I need to make a certain quota. We count on Memorial Day weekend, and I'll be... Boy, you can send me down to the darkest, darkest place in the imagination of God. And if I'm going to make my quota with some guy buying pinto beans and cheap chopped stewing beef, which I know full well he's going home to make chili killies with. Don't tell me he's going home to make stew. Don't you dare tell me that.
You don't know if he's buying stew beef. Maybe he...
No, he's going home and he's making chili killies or he's making some of the chimichanga. There ain't no way that guy's making stewing meat on 4th of July. And for that...
the guy didn't want to be called an Indian.
All right, for that Cherokee to say, "Where's my buffalo meat?" Well, the FCC's coming down on you guys.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Green. Thank you for your cooperation. Thank you for talking with us. I agree with the lady, though. I don't know how it is you stay in business.
I'm doing great. As a matter of fact, I want to let that guy know we actually are featuring buffalo meat next week. Because I think they're doing a General Custer week on TV, and I wanted to...
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, who doesn't mind you guys eating... Eat whatever you want, but on Memorial weekend, don't walk in asking for pinto beans at his store. All right, 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Who wouldn't let the good father take a look for an Arby's beef?
Which? The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We have Margaret Gray coming up in just a second. A flashback from our show last week. And it had something to do with Jason J. Delmonico and her fears of him being what? Flying the flag. Let's go to Bart. Hi, Bart.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Phil, the reason why I'm calling tonight, I listened to your program, and I think you're doing a disservice to your listeners.
Are you taking a bath?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm getting ready for work.
Okay. All right, go ahead. I can see here the water.
I'm getting ready for work. Yes, sir. But I wanted to...
You got the phone in the tub?
I got a cell phone, yes, sir.
All right.
You, as I mentioned...
You said I was doing a disservice to my callers.
Yeah, no, not to your...
I mean to my listeners.
To your listeners, because that is you, I've understood at least from what I've read, that is you doing the different voices of these guests that you have. And
well, no, it is not, sir.
No, it is not. Okay. I saw the piece on the Channel 9, I think it was Wade Cutlet's report on you do the voices of these different people.
Well, no, sir, I do not, and those are real guests. And I've heard this criticism before.
Phil, come on.
No, I've heard this criticism before. No, I do not do the voices of any guests on this show. I've never done the voices of any guests on this show, and I never will do the voices of any guests or
correspondents. And the other thing is that the people that call in are not aware that you're doing these voices.
The people that call in are calling in to talk to legitimate guests.
Well, I think you are doing a great disservice, and you were talking to a man, the little character you had going there.
It's not a little character that I got going there, sir.
Well, he was spreading racism, and it was, to my way of thinking, a very grave disservice. And I've listened to talk radio for a long time, and I can assure you that the station that I listen to, KGBT, in I don't know what city it's in, but that's the station I listen to.
Well, where are you, sir?
I'm in New Mexico.
All right. What big city are you near?
Well, we're close to Albuquerque.
Okay, it's probably an Albuquerque station. What are you about to tell me, that you're not going to listen to him anymore?
That is exactly correct. I'm not going to listen any longer, and you've lost a listener. So, and I can tell you that, hold on, my wife is going to pass me the hairdryer.
Don't do it!
I just... Yeah, that feels great!
Oh, my God! that's heavy. Call and make sure that man is truly dead, please. Usually I would say call and make sure he's okay. Call and make sure that he's not okay. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray was on our show last week. She is a nationally syndicated columnist of great note and great repute. She was on to make sure people are aware that there are terrorists loose in this country, and that's why she's urging people not to fly their American flags this Memorial Day weekend. She's very concerned about her son getting blown into mincemeat.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
This lady, I gotta say something. You know, I was in the first Iraqi war, and, you know, I have the right to fly my flag. And there's 40 million flags in California alone, I'm sure, going to be flown. And they're not that... Yeah,
Al-Qaeda
out there, please. They
got to
give this
away. Wait a minute. Al-Qaeda could do a drive-by and blow everyone to bits because you wouldn't start waving your flag.
You know what? I can wave my flag because I fought for this country to wave my flag. If you don't want to wave it, don't wave it.
Well,
you're not going to get it.
Yeah, but if you're living on the same street with me and you're waving your flag and I'm not, and they decide to use plastic explosive or some radiological bomb, then I...
Oh, come on, will you?
No, but then I'm going to be infected by the radiology. And
Katie, you know what you got to worry about? You got to worry more about how many Americans you just picked off by telling them they can't wave this flag than you have to worry about any Al-Qaeda in this country.
Don, you can fly your blessed flag in your bathroom. I'm just saying, keep it off of the damn porch.
I'll fly it anywhere I want to because I won the right to.
You said you were in the first Iraqi war, correct?
Yeah, well, why don't you go to a
country... Well, guess what, Don? I've got a
news
flash for you. We didn't fight in Iraq the first time. We fought in Kuwait. Ooh!
Ooh!
I think I got you.
You don't realize there were troops all the way up in towards Iraq. Right on the border of Iraq. We had to push them all the way back.
Well, what was the name of your squad? What was the... Did they call
it? It doesn't matter what the name of my squad was. You're just too much of a loon to realize that there's Americans fighting for this country.
I don't think you were.
And we have a representation... called the American flag, just like every other country that goes to the Olympics and decides to show it.
Don, I think your nose is growing longer. I think your nose just got a little longer. Now, what squad were you in the Navy?
I wasn't in the Navy.
He didn't say he was in the Navy.
Well, what was his squad?
It's not a squad. It's like, what was it, Don? A company or something?
I was over at anti-tank toes.
Are you calling from inside a tank right now? Because I can hear the...
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Margaret giving grief to one of our veterans. Just another way to introduce Memorial Weekend on the Phil Hendry Show. That was a flashback from our show on Friday. And our number is 1-800-449-8686. And hold on for a minute. Bart?
Yes, sir. I'm fine after my wife handed me the hairdryer. I wanted to just tell you, I'm not going to listen to your show any longer.
Well, I tell you what, you'll never be able to listen to my show if you are, if you kill yourself.
Mr. Henry, let's stick to the point, and the point is very clear. You have lied to the American people. You did the voice of that woman that was there just a moment ago. And I can tell you very, very seriously that, oh, thank you, honey. I want to just toast some bread while I'm in the toaster.
What, he crawled into the toaster? What did he just... Hi, I'm in the bathtub. I think I'll just toast some bread while I'm here.
Yee-hoo!
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Say friends, our website, www.philhendryshow.com, is at www.philhendryshow.com. And when you go there, I would suggest if you'd like to hear some of the audio that you hear on the show again... If you are so so inclined, you can get a backstage pass for $6.95, and that'll get you to our award-winning, well, I say award-winning, this didn't win any awards. Our show has never won one award. We haven't won a, what do they give you in radio, an Addy? I ain't won no Marconi. I haven't won a Golden Mic. We haven't won a Bronze Mic. We ain't won nothing here. I think we were named... Well, I know that I was named in a federal indictment, but that's doesn't have anything to do with radio. But I think somewhere along the line, somebody said that we were good. Anyway, we are a pretty good show, and we have our website there for you, so you can access all of our audio with the backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. If you gave up smoking a pack of cigarettes like one day, you could afford it. Or you don't even have to give up smoking one day. Just cut down to like 18 cigarettes a day instead of the full 20 that you're smoking right now, and you can do it. Also, we have great gifts in our souvenir shop. Father's Day comes up. You will not be left empty-handed for Daddy. We got the unique 16-can Phil Hendry Show cooler with a built-in AM-FM radio. This thing's beautiful. For the ladies, we have the I Love Phil women's T-shirt. We also have Phil's garden set. It's a combination stool, bag, and cooler. You'll notice there's coolers with everything. We got a built-in cooler with the woman's T-shirt. You want to guess where it is? Anyway... Plus a five-piece garden tool set, and then, of course, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Deluxe Barbecue set, which I busted out this past weekend. I barbecued tri-tip, and the ladies holds two cans. Now, anyway, I busted out that Ted's of Beverly Hills Barbecue set this weekend. I cooked three tri-tip. Now, here's how I did it, see? I lit, because I got that big 40-inch grill, right? I lit the three burners on the right side, but I left one burner off. And then I cooked them using what's called indirect heat. You put the three tri-tip over there, over the one that ain't cooking. And then, Mark, listen to me, man, because if I ever come to your house for a barbecue and it tastes bad. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, Phil Hendry.
I am joined by the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show, David G. Hall, for what he would only tell me is a special occasion. David is on the phone from his home in Palm Desert. Where are you right now, David?
I'm in a hot tub, Phil. I'm just getting a little relaxing sauna here.
Boy, everybody's in the tub tonight talking to me.
Well, it just feels good. Phil, we are joining you tonight. Is Bud there?
Right here, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, Bud just walked in.
We're here for a very special occasion, Phil, and we wanted to honor you, single you out, for a bit of commentary that you did on your program that we would like to play for you right now. You mentioned you don't win any awards. Well, this has won an award in our hearts. We feel this is very brilliant, insightful, and meaningful commentary. We like to say on this program, in the kind of work that we do, it really reflects where the American people are.
Okay, this was something I said on the show?
Yeah, it was something you said not too long ago, too.
Yeah, it was something you said not too long ago, and here it is. Bud, go ahead and play it.
Right.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could tell, you could see that coming a mile away.
Well!
How about that, huh, Phil?
Well, isn't that insightful?
Yes, I know I said that.
Yeah, you know you said that. Well, tonight, Phil, we're giving you the award. Dumbass of the year.
And it's not necessary.
You even...
Does he have to be in here?
Yeah, but he's the engineer. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. Man, you are something else. Those are my goggles. You are something else.
What, are you in the hot tub with who?
None of your business who I'm in the hot tub with. Those are my goggles. Anyway, I just wanted you to know. Look, Phil, we're just breaking your castanets a little bit.
Yeah, we're just busting your castanets a little bit.
All right, okay.
Play it again, bud. I just want to hear it.
All right, guys, I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see it coming a mile away.
Good one, Buck.
Boy, you sound like you know everything about sports.
All right, so I called a wrong one. You're right. I called it wrong.
Well, it's pretty big. When you're broadcasting from the West Coast, Hollywood, California, and you say, I told you the Lakers ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Did you see that one coming a mile away? Yeah, you can say you see that one coming a mile away.
Boy, if you can see that one coming a mile away, Henry, you need Coke bottle glasses, man. I mean, look, Phil, we're just breaking your balls here. Excuse my language, but, you know, just because you made such a bold statement.
Well, I honestly didn't think...
Play it again, bud. We don't want to hear what you can say. Play it again.
Well, I want to say, though, that the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Give me the snorkel. So,
what are you doing?
I got a friend over here, okay? Hey, by the way, hold on for a minute, Phil. By the way, Steve, it's not cool when there's just two guys in a hot tub and one guy is wearing goggles and he goes under the water. So, the things that I want to say to you are these. A. Next time, if you're going to do commentary, don't do predictions. And B, sure don't do predictions about sports.
I felt that I had a pretty good handle on it. And
I don't want to hear him talk, bud. Play it again.
No, I really did. I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
You can see that one coming a mile away. How do you figure you see that one coming a mile away?
Yeah, how do you figure that? Hey, somebody go fill my scuba tank.
What are you doing in there, man, with goggles and snorkels and a scuba tank? You're in a hot tub.
None of your beeswax, what I'm doing in here. I said no guy goes under the water when he's in a hot tub with another guy with his goggles on. Now, here's what I want to say to you, Phil.
You already said it. I shouldn't make predictions.
Just keep sports out of your program. Otherwise, you'll wind up sounding like this.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Don't you agree you sound like a retard? Don't you agree?
Yes, I agree. I sounded utterly stupid when I said it.
Boy, you talk about being a nut.
How come he's got to be in here every time?
Don't worry about him. At least he didn't say...
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Okay, man, I heard this a million times.
That, but you could see that coming a mile away.
All right, that's
enough. All right, Phil, just wanted to remind you.
Nice going, Phil. I said don't go underwater with goggles on when I'm not wearing my bathing suit. Anyway,
thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, I guess I did say it. Lakers 96, Timber Puppies 90. So the Lakers are going to go on to the NBA Finals. And let me just say, Indy in six. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. It's probably going to be Detroit. And who knows who it is. But the Lakers will beat whoever it is. So it was very impressive. I want to move past sports, though. And I want to get into what John Kerry said on terrorism and his battle on terrorism.
Phil, I got the John Kerry.
The what?
The comments that he made today on terrorism.
Okay, let's listen to the John Kerry comments that he made today on terrorism, and I want to dissect it, because I think he's, again, missing the point. Go ahead, bud. Here is John Kerry today speaking on terrorism. I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Bah.
Bah.
In any event, John Kerry, do you have the audio or don't you?
No, I really do, yeah.
All right, John Kerry said this today on the fight against terrorism.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you can tell, you can see that coming a mile away.
Cue the horn. Yeah, David.
I had to call back. That's beautiful material, bud.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Wait a minute. Ah, there it is.
Look, Phil, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be busting your castanets.
That's okay, bud. I guess I deserve it. Can I get back now to John Kerry?
Absolutely.
First of all, what he said was that he...
No, I have it.
What?
I know. I really do have it. I really do.
Because I need this to finish this bit.
Yeah, I got John Kerry's comments.
Do you promise?
I swear on the eyes of my children, Phil, that I have the John Kerry comment. What? You don't trust me?
Frankly, no, I don't. Last three times you played the me.
I swear on a stack of Bibles.
On a stack of Bibles?
Yes.
You swear?
Yes.
Because I got to hear the John Kerry thing for this to...
No, I got it. I will.
All right, here's John Kerry. I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Why are you doing that, man? You swore in a stack of Bibles. I don't have no Bibles here. Do you see any? Well, you said you swore in the eyes of your children. I ain't got no kids. Just go to the flashback.
All right. Time now for a flashback from last week. This was David G. Hall and I talking about my upcoming vacation time, and caller Sandy didn't like what David had to say.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, we're all done with that now, bud, okay?
What are we getting mad about?
I'm getting mad because you beat it into the ground. I said the Lakers weren't going to get out of the Western Conference. They ended up getting out of the Western Conference. And
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference.
And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you can see that coming a mile away.
You got to get it right. Get the inflection right.
Just turn it off. I told my wife this morning I was having a good time rooting against the Lakers. I've been a Laker fan my whole life, and...
Yeah, you say that now.
Shut up. I've been a Laker fan my whole life, but it's been fun rooting against them. And I've had a good time. You know, a lot of the things that...
Don't try to get out of it, Henry.
What, do you just pop in with your hot tub anytime you want to? Anyway, we'll move on now. We've had our jollies, and we're going to move on now, okay?
All right.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could tell...
I want to go to a commercial, but not that anymore. Do you understand me? Now, you're running the buttons on this show. I'm going to a commercial.
Bud, go to a commercial.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
Well, lock it out.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
You better do it, Bud. I'm telling you.
Oh, boy. Jeez, man. It's a sponsor. You don't want me to miss a sponsor, do you?
Do it, Bud.
Yes, Mr. Hall.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to kick your... We'll be right back. I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They weren't getting out of the Western Conference.
And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
Tard.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The Lakers did it on great talent, and they did it with a great coach. Phil Jackson is a great coach. They had exactly the same guys under Del Harris, and God bless Del Harris. He couldn't
couldn't do it with those guys. I mean, they had the same, basically the same team. They've added a few guys here and there, but they had Shaq, they had Kobe, they had their guy there, Rick Fox. And they always seem to have that guy off the bench. As long as I've been watching them, back in my time when I was a youngin', they had Flynn Robinson, instant point. Anybody remember him? They had the great Michael Cooper in the 80s. Always that guy coming off the bench. You know, people talk about,
well, Phil Jackson's never won a championship without really great players.
Name me a coach who hasn't. Red Auerbach, all those years he was winning with the Celtics, gee, all he had was John freaking Havlicek, Bill Russell, Casey Jones. Get out of here. Who else? The only coach that I can think of, I was just sitting here talking with my good friend Mr. Newman, who is from the East Coast, by the way. The only coach I can think of who won, you know, actually won a lot with guys that you never even heard of was Bill Parcells, and that was the 1990 Giants, with the exception of Lawrence Taylor. They had LT, who was a, you know, all-world at linebacker. But listen to the guys they had. They had Hostetler and Sims. Sims got injured, so they went into the Super Bowl with Jeff Hostetler. Yeah, he's Hall of Fame. Then they had, at running back, the inimitable Maurice Carthen. Now, Maurice Carthen was a good fullback. They also had Otis Anderson. But Otis Anderson ran for 784 yards. I mean, they didn't have nobody on that team. Here's their wide receivers. Stephen Baker, Mark Ingram, who was good, not great, Lionel Manuel, Stacy Robinson, Odessa Turner, then his tight ends. The best thing he had on that team in terms of a receiver probably was Mark Bavaro. When I know the air is free, Mark, but with that nose. What?
David wants to talk to you.
Yes, David.
What are you talking about sports again for?
No, I was just...
What are you talking about sports again for? The last time you talked about sports, you sounded like this. Where is it, bud?
I took it out of the machine. I'm sorry.
You lousy...
Guess you made him look bad, huh, bud?
Well, you really wanted me to take it out of the machine.
Yeah, you idiot. He's probably coming down here to kick your rear end. Anyway, yes, they didn't have... They had the great kicker, Raul Alegre. Remember him? You remember when the Giants had a kicker named Ali Raja Sheik? Guy was like... straight out of the sand dunes someplace. Anyway, they didn't have nobody, but everybody wins with great players. Are you kidding me? Bulls did it. Spurs did it. Celtics did it. Sixers did it. Pistons did it. You just don't... And to say that a guy is... Jackson got lucky with great players. Well, he got lucky because he had Michael Jordan. Is that what you're trying to say? All right, Red Auerbach got lucky because he had Bill freaking Russell. How about that? Anyway, this is all just to say one thing and one thing only. Congratulations to the Lakers. I know I misstated. I mean, I put my big fat foot in my mouth, and my big fat foot in my big fat mouth, but they deserve all the accolades in the world. And I just think that...
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference.
What are you doing now, okay?
Getting out of the Western Conference.
Tell me, and it's not that
in.
I take any particular joy in that.
Yeah, I can
see that coming a mile away.
Don't you ever talk about sports again. I'm getting out of the tub.
What is this guy at home in a hot tub just giving me grief? Where's my snorkel? What, David?
I gotta get out. I'm pruning.
A real freak. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So I guess that's... And my kids were watching the game last night, and I just... My problem is not that I don't like the Lakers. I'm just bored to death with basketball, that's all. Just bored sick with it, that's all. I realize it puts me out of the mainstream. By the way, good going, NHL. I understand the... what game is this of the National Hockey League Finals, Janice, my little Canadian friend?
I think they're going into Game 3.
Going into Game 3? They had a one share on national TV. All right.
But it's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Canadians.
It's just thrilling. The Calgary Flames and the Tampa what?
Tampa Bay Lightning.
The Tampa Bay Lightning. ESPN had the game on, and they had a 1-1. Yes, David.
Well, the last time we saw 1-1 is when you said...
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Turn it off, bud.
Mr. Hall said...
Turn it off! I don't want to watch that stuff anymore. Don't want to do it. All right, coming up on our show tonight, we have... Well, the Saudis had a terrorist attack. Now, ain't that too bad? Gee, I wonder what they're going to do.
Don't call Uncle Sam.
We don't want to be down there, man, making people mad, getting involved in their politics, usurping their authority, helping them fight terrorism. No, no, we don't want to do that. We saw what trouble we got into in Iraq. Now, you're going to be on your own there, Saudi. I know. Call up the frogs, man. I bet you they'd be willing to send down a whole bunch of French Foreign Legion. I bet you guys are familiar with the French and their Foreign Legion. Ain't those the guys with the funny-looking hats that are right standing there in the outpost going, I don't know where I sit, the hell was. I want a vacation. So I joined 7 years in the French Foreign Legion. Trial Talk with Harvey Weierman will be on our program tonight. Mr. Weierman is going to dissect three very high-profile cases coming before us. Today, as you know, the Scott Peterson trial started. Very shortly, the Michael Jackson trial is going to begin. And before the summer's out, I guess the Kobe Bryant trial will also begin. So these are three extremely important trials we're going to be keeping our eyes on. We do want to talk about John Kerry's plan for terrorism. And I read it. I actually read it. And it's all George Bush's stuff. This guy's something else. I'm speaking as a Democrat. You know that my wife got a call from a gal. My wife's like a huge Republican, right? So I'm on the air and I'm talking. I said, well, as a Democrat, I really believe that you guys in the Republican Party, I mean, you talk about a bunch of dumb cops with this no gays and that whole North Carolina convention. They want to kick the gay people off the convention floor and they got a gay amendment. And, you know, until you guys can run these Bible bangers out of your party, you are dead meat. Yeah, you'll get the occasional president elected, but that's about it. This gal called up and said, your husband was right on. And I said, well, huh? She was a Republican. I thought they were all down with that stuff. So I don't know. Frankly, I don't know what party I belong to, but we had one hell of a party at our house on Saturday night, my wife's high school reunion. All the people got together and talked about how happy they were until they got a few drinks in them, and then you realize they're all miserable. And then later on tonight, we're going to talk about Britney in China. Britney Spears had a huge announcement from the Chinese government. We're going to talk about the Olympics. The Olympics cannot sell tickets, folks. They are not selling tickets to the Olympics. It is the big fat yawn. The Olympics is irrelevant. The Olympics has lost its meaning and its relevance to anything we do in this world. 100 years ago, yeah, whoopee-doo, it was big time in Athens. It is an utterly meaningless exercise. And we're also going to go into Phil's mailbag. It's all coming up on The Phil Henry Show. I told you the Lakers weren't
turning it off,
the Western...
bud. Sorry.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So Bobby Rahal and David Letterman's car won the Indy 500. Who was the driver?
Buddy Rice.
Buddy Rice. Janice thought Buddy Rich was the driver. It's Buddy Rice, Buddy Rich. Anyway, now there's a sport. And why do I say that? Not because it's necessarily macho, but as I've pointed out before, it is a sport. It is the only sport that I can think of whereby society is the direct beneficiary of the event. Now, how is that the case? Because in auto racing, not only are they racing the cars, but they're testing the engines, they're testing the tires, they're testing the fuel. All of the things that they learn from auto racing eventually make their way, into the passenger car. The things that we find out on the racetracks, we eventually incorporate into the ordinary passenger car. And that race was 200 plus miles per hour. Not that anybody is asking you to do that, but we are talking about things like brakes, carburation, as I said, tires, steering, everything, the mechanics of an automobile. And so what they then find out in the automobile racing world, that finds its way to Detroit and to the engineering of the passenger car. So I can't think of any other sport where that happens. In fact, I know there isn't any other sport where that happens. And I ain't talking about, well, we found out how high a guy can jump in basketball. That may help us going to the moon or something. No, I don't know. No. I mean practical application.
NASCAR?
Just all racing.
What do you mean?
All racing, bud. Kart, NASCAR.
What's kart? What is that? Kart. What's that supposed to mean? Mini karts? You know, like the karts you race around in the parking lot?
You know, why are you in here?
Well, Mr. Hook.
Get out of here!
Like the karts you race around?
Championship Automobile Racing, what's T stand for? Tough Times. And the NASCAR is the National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing. Then you have the NHRA, which is the National...
Hot Dog Association.
National Hot Dog National Hot Rod Association. And stuff like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, this is Chris from Everett, Washington.
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fine. I was listening to your radio, and you had mentioned Saudi Arabia and the terrorists and all that. And I had an enlightening conversation tonight with a couple of Iraqis down on Mercer Island at a gas station.
Uh-huh.
And just because I wanted to know more about their culture. I'm not from there. I feel pretty ignorant. And had, you know, just told them my philosophy about what I think's going on in the recent terrorist attacks over in Saudi Arabia. And it seems pretty convenient to me that we have some terrorists going over there now terrorizing Saudi Arabia. And it seems to me that nobody wants to connect the dots.
And well, go ahead. Connect the dots.
Well, what you have here is a major cover-up of the United States.
That's not exactly connecting the dots, Chris.
Okay, well, here, I'll connect the dots for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Back in 1983, Donald Rumsfeld went and shook hands with Saddam Hussein, and they knew that he was a murderous thug.
All well-known information.
All well-known.
The French were over there shaking his hands, too.
Exactly. Go ahead. Okay, and so when he decided to go out on his own and attack Kuwait with materials that we had given him,
right.
Bush got in the way, the older Bush, and he was almost, you know, he wasn't following the game anymore. So for the longest time, we've been wanting to take out a leader that was no longer following the game.
Well, we've done it before. We did it with Noriega. We've done it in the past with a lot of people.
Okay, so what I'm trying to get to here is Osama bin Laden, they can catch Saddam Hussein and other people, but they can't catch a handful of terrorists that hide out in caves? I mean, it just seems pretty convenient.
Now you went from connecting the dots to just sort of straying into the wilderness there, right, with that comment. Now you're speculating as opposed to giving me a logical connection. We knew where Saddam was, didn't we? We knew exactly where he was. As a matter of fact, it took us about 8 months to find him, but he was locked in the country someplace. Osama bin Laden is in a region of Pakistan that isn't even under the control of the Pakistani army because it is a traditionally wild, rebellious tribal area. It's difficult to get American troops
in
there.
We don't want to catch him, and we won't catch
Osama bin Laden.
Hold on,
Chris. You're no longer connecting the dots. You're just randomly saying stuff, okay? Yes, of course we want to catch him. We can't just go into Pakistan. A, if we do, and Musharraf finds out about it, he is dead meat. He's got a militant base in Pakistan that wants nothing to do with the United States. If he is even suspected of doing deals with us, he loses his power in Pakistan. When we go in there, it has to be under a very, very controlled situation. It is not what I would call optimum for finding a guy like Osama bin Laden in one of millions of caves in Pakistan.
Okay, when 9/11 happened, it was, 9 months and somewhat days after the date that Bush was elected into presidency? I mean, took oath and all that, and all of a sudden there's a 9/11 attack, airplanes going to the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers, and to think back, 8 or 9 years before that, we had went over and attacked, his father went over and attacked Saddam's country and tried to stop them from hurting Iraqi or Irans or whatever they were, Kuwait. And now we have a Bush president in there again. It seems to me that the terrorists are hired. They're hired hitmen.
Chris, you know, it seems to you that way because you don't want the truth. You just sort of want to be right. Let me tell you.
No, I don't. I wish I wasn't.
Well, prove to you how you're wrong. During the Clinton administration, there were 3 terrorist attacks, all put together by Al-Qaeda, or if you want to believe, George Bush, even though Bill Clinton was the president. Or maybe Clinton did it. We had an attack on the World Trade Center in New York in 93. We had the attack on the coal. We had 2 embassy bombings in Africa.
Yeah.
All being supposedly promulgated by Al-Qaeda during the Clinton administration. Now, was George Bush behind that?
I think all government was behind that. I think it's any
elected official. So Bill Clinton did that, right? Even though we have in the indictment of Osama bin Laden, the Bill Clinton administration indicted Osama bin Laden in the year 1999 for murder, and in the indictment, in the Justice Department indictment, in the Clinton administration, it says, and I'm not making this up, it's in the indictment, you can look at it, and under the Freedom of Information Act, Osama bin Laden has been working with Saddam Hussein on the development of weapons of mass destruction. That's not George Bush's hallucination, if you will. That was Bill Clinton's hallucination, because that was in the Justice Department indictment.
But why
if
you
want to
so
connect
willing-
the dot, why don't we start connecting the dots my way? Now we've connected it your way. I'm going to start connecting it my way. I see a pattern of terrorist development that was not President Clinton's fault necessarily. He was dealing with it in a way that was ineffective, diplomatic, and limited military strike. On 9/11, we found out the full force of the animals we were dealing with. It was no longer a diplomatic fight. It was no longer anything of the sort. We had to get tough with these guys. They had already murdered Americans for years before this.
Yeah, but we backed Saddam Hussein when we knew he was
I understand that. That's not a secret, Chris. We've backed a lot of people when they are useful
okay,
to us.
No
and when they
for-
are no longer useful to us, we take them out. Exactly. That's the way. And you know why we do that? We do that to protect American interest. And what is American interest? American
money.
Business. And guess who makes the money? You, me,
no.
The American. Yes. Yes,
no, I
Chris.
Don't. There's such
yes,
a large
Chris.
Gap here.
No, Chris. The American corporate interest is the American people interest. It's about people. What do you think makes up corporations? Who do you think makes up corporations? People, shareholders, you, me, little old ladies knitting in the back of the room. It's all about American business, and American business at its heart and soul is all about American people. If the American people don't like the way business is being promoted in, on their behalf, well, by all means, we need to change it. But the U.S. government goes about what it does, either in an underhanded way or in a very good way, but we do it on behalf of American business interest. Now, that is the truth, Ruth. Thanks, Chris. It was a good call. Damn good call. It's just that it's like I've heard it so many times, man. I can't, what am I going to do? It is, and this is no reflection on Chris, but it is a sign of the times. It is a sign of the times. The portal to the future must, and the only way we can make it to the future, must be traveled through Iraq. And we are walking around, and we've got our hands in our pockets, and we're looking, and we're blaming the people that brought us to this point, and we want to know if there's any other way we can get into the future besides this, and we're scratching our butts and scratching our heads, and we're going back 20 years and wondering, well, it could have been... You know what? We're a bunch of little old ladies sitting around with a scrapbook looking at when times were great. I remember, and we shouldn't have done this, and we shouldn't have done that, and we shouldn't have done this, and we shouldn't have done that. We got to go through that portal called Iraq to make it into the future. George Bush, you may hate him. I think he is a great president, if for no other reason that he is pushing this country through the only entrance to the future we can go through. It is a gauntlet. It is a violent gauntlet. It's one that we can handle, but we have absolutely no faith in ourselves. We suspect ourselves. We are torn as a country. We just don't get it, man, that in the world, chaos, evil, that kind of thing exists whether or not we're here. Whether or not America exists, evil and chaos and all of the destructive things that go along with it, it is always our enemy. It's always the enemy of any country that travels to the future instead of the past. And it will always be our enemy. And the great subterfuge is to blame it all on America. It's easy to do that. It means we don't have to engage the evil. And, hey, what's the big consequence of calling George Bush a murderer, right? You can sleep sound at night, man. Ain't nobody going to cut your throat over that one. Yeah. Tell me all about the Patriot Act. There isn't anybody listening to me right now. Not anybody listening to me right now that has been incarcerated under the Patriot Act. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, that was fun. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
God, what is this, man? This is, I got to do a segment called Law Talk with Harvey Weierman. What is this?
It's music for...
Get on something better than this, man.
How about this?
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could tell, you could see that coming a mile away.
Like that one?
No, man, I don't like that one. Never mind. Harvey Weierman joins us. This is Law Talk with Harvey Weierman. And tonight we're going to be talking with Harvey about the... Mr. Weierman, where are you?
I'm taking a bath.
What is with everybody taking a bath tonight?
I don't know. What do you mean everybody taking a bath tonight?
Every guy that I've had on the air as a guest is either in a hot tub or a bathtub.
Well, I'm soaking my back. I've got a back pro with Epsom salts. So I don't know what in Jesus you're talking about.
Anyway, we want to talk a little bit about the three major trials that are coming up, Harvey. Mr. Weierman is a noted criminal defense attorney who is now retired, but you do pro bono work for a lot of people.
That is correct, yes.
Tell me about the three big trials we're talking about, Kobe Bryant, Scott Peterson, and Michael Jackson.
Well, I can tell you right away, Phil, that what these three trials have in common is that they are the trials of black men in America. And as a result, I don't know that they'll get a fair trial.
Hold on for a minute. Are you talking about the Peterson trial as well?
I'm talking about Scott Peterson, Kobe Bryant, and Michael Jackson.
Scott Peterson's white.
The hell he is. He's black.
And Scott Peterson's a white man.
No, he's not. He's not a white beast. He's a mulatto.
What do you mean he's a mulatto, man? What? Look at...
No, he really...
Yeah, he is, Phil. I've seen it.
Get out of here, will you, bud? Mr. Weierman,
This is a trial. These three trials represent three African-American men on trial.
Scott Peterson's a white man as far as I...
Wait a minute. Did you bring me on as the guest? Aren't I the guest?
Yes.
I'm telling you, the guy's a mulatto. Now, he could be Octoroon, or he could be Quadroon. But
what is Octoroon?
He'd be 1/8 black.
What's Quadroon?
1/4.
What's mulatto?
Half. You want to go for full-blooded?
Okay, what's full-blooded?
Negro. All right. Now, as the result of these three men not getting a fair trial, they can't get a fair trial, and America can't get a fair trial. And I'll tell you why, Phil, because we're stuck. We will either wrongfully convict them for something they didn't do, or they'll walk away scot-free from something they did do. That's what happens when you put three young African-American men on trial. And Scott Peterson, for a young black man to have pulled himself up...
I just can't...
What?
I can't go on talking about Scott Peterson as a young black man.
No, he is. He's African-American.
So you're saying he has black blood?
Yes.
On whose side?
Probably his father. His father looks dark.
Okay.
Now, you got Scott Peterson, a young black man who stands out like a sore thumb in a white neighborhood. And, of course, they're going to want to...
What do you mean he stands out like a sore thumb?
Well, he's obviously black.
What are you looking at, man? You got eyes? This cat's face is white.
But his hair's kinked out. Haven't you seen it?
His hair ain't kinky, man. His hair is cut off short because of the, you know, he bleached it and
Listen, I can hear the doubt in your voice, see? You aren't sure.
Well, if you're going to call a guy African-American, you got to be sure that he is.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Now you're pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm a halfway sure.
Well, what are you basing it on?
The guy looks like a black guy to me, Phil. It could be, maybe he looks white to you. I'm basing it on my observation that Scott Peterson's black. And as a result... He's not going to get a fair trial. Him, O.J., you put all these guys together, they're always suspected of murdering their wives. Now...
Well, it's a common thing for husbands to murder their wives. At least the cops will look at a guy who murders, a wife that is...
Sole American. God.
Sorry, what I'm trying to say is... I'm trying to say that it's common when a wife dies to look at the husband.
You're telling me my business? I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Well, isn't it true?
Yes, it is true. But I'm just saying that in the case of Scott Peterson, who was born and raised in the projects in Atlanta, to it.
You don't even know that for a fact. This guy's white.
You know something, Phil? You are never really going to understand. Now, if you don't mind, I'm curling my hair tonight. Honey, hand me that curling iron. Oh, no, not the top! That hurts.
Okay, I've had, I don't know how many guests kill themselves in a tub tonight, electrocuting themselves with a toaster, a curling iron, and a hairdryer.
This is a trial about a young black man.
The Scott Peterson trial started today, and the prosecution laid into this guy. I mean, they just laid into him saying, apparently, Mr. Peterson's a inveterate liar. And first he said he was going golfing, then he said he was going fishing. It depended upon who he was talking to that day. I'm telling you, this guy is as guilty as sin.
Really?
Yes.
You mean...
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could tell, you could see that coming a mile away. Nice going. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Majority of Athens tickets still not sold. Yep, the summer games in Greece, big fat yawn. Everybody thinks it's a terrorism concern, and that could be. That could be. But this is Europe, and Europe is a place that has lived with terrorist attacks, Athens especially, for a long time. So... what's the big to-do now? I frankly don't understand. I mean, the Europeans have lived with all kinds of terrorists down through the years. And maybe that's the difference between Europe and America. We don't really want to do that. Maybe that makes us bad. Maybe it makes us horrible. The fact that, frankly, we don't really want to have the Red Army in our midst, or the German Red Army. I mean, you guys don't even know. Some of you younger people listening here on the program tonight, I mean, they had the Black September Palestinian terrorists. They, long before there was Hamas or Al-Qaeda, they had the, what was called in Italy, was the Italian Red Army, or the Red Communists, or some crap like that. They went around machine-gunning everybody. Then they had the Krauts. They had some left-wing group in Germany that was blowing everybody to bits. Then they had Libyan groups. They've had them for years, man. This is that, you know, who are we kidding? The PLO itself was and is a terror organization. So why all of a sudden are they worried? Athens, especially, was an international joke when it came to security. Well known as an international joke. You could hijack an airplane out of Athens to the moon. You could go anywhere you wanted out of Athens, man. All points north, south, east, west, and intergalactic. If you're a terrorist, if you're a hijacker, Athens is the place. Frankfurt, Marseille, Rome, Hamburg, you name it. You could pull a plane out of there and park it on a runway someplace. Of course, do the obligatory beating the hell out of an American, whatever American was on the plane, and leaving them like a sack of garbage. And, you know, get some demand like a whole bunch of prisoners released. Whatever. They've been living with that in Europe for years. Bombs in nightclubs. Bombs in pubs. Bombs in markets. Bombs in cars. Bombs on buses. All God's children got bombs. Now how come all of a sudden they're sweating it? Well, I don't think it's so much sweating it as it's a sign of the times. The Olympics are so irrelevant, it's beyond words. I was reading a local sports writer who said, boy, this sure doesn't seem like the Olympics. Why, it's just so dark and messy and bleh. I guess that's all America's fault, huh? Is that it? So to blame, you know, to get back at America, they're going to blow everybody up in Europe, which could bring us to Kerry's terrorist plan, which is to be more multilateral. In other words, get the other countries of the world involved in fighting terrorism. Somebody want to answer this question for me? Why do they want to help us? What's in it for them? Have you thought about that? Has anybody thought about this? John Kerry, who is running for president, says that, well, we got to get more multilateral. We got to get all the countries involved, the international community involved. Why? Why do the French want to help us fight terrorism? It's only going to make the 85 billion Arab terrorists living in their country mad. Germans don't want to do it. Spanish don't want to do it. Most of the English people don't want to do it. They don't want to help us out. We got hit on 9/11 by four planes that were flown into buildings or hit the ground, and a whole bunch of people died. And as far as the Europeans were concerned, that's business as usual. Why do they want to help us? Anything we do in the Middle East makes the price of gas go up for them. They're paying $5-6 a gallon in Europe. There is no multilateral approach. Let me read you a quote, if I could. This is unbelievable, in fact, some of the Dumkopf stuff that's coming out of this cat's mouth when it comes to fighting terrorism. Now, Kerry said, and I'm quoting, "We had him in our grasp more than 2 years ago at Tora Bora." He's talking about Osama bin Laden. "But George Bush held U.S. forces back and instead called on Afghan warlords with no loyalty to our cause to finish the job. We all hope the outcome will be different this time." Wait a second, man. I thought you were just saying you wanted to get multilateral. That is, bring other people into it. In Afghanistan, bringing other people into it were the Afghan warlords. No, no, no. I guess in that instance, we should have been unilateral. Is that it? Here's something else he said. "But the fight requires us to use every tool at our disposal, not only a strong military, but renewed alliances, vigorous law enforcement, reliable intelligence, and unremitting effort to shut down the flow of terrorist funds." All things that Bush is doing, by the way. I guess the alliances aren't the ones that he had in mind, since we're hooked up with Italy and Poland and places like that. Vigorous law enforcement, reliable intelligence. Holy God, man, that means that we got to go back to using all those nasty people. The ones that we didn't want to deal with in the first place. Here's another one. "Allies give us more hands in the struggle, but no president would ever let them tie our hands and prevent us from doing what must be done." Huh? "As president, I will not wait for a green light from abroad when our safety is at stake." This wasn't said 3 years ago. This wasn't said 9 years ago. This was said 2 months ago by President wannabe John Kerry. By the way, for those of you just tuning in, I'm a Democrat. I'm a registered Democratic voter, and I've been an enthusiastic Democratic voter for over, well, what am I, 51? I've been voting for 30 years. Okay? Just so there isn't any misunderstanding, just so you know you haven't tuned into one of these rank-and-file conservative talk shows, I go the way I go because of the way I feel. There ain't no dogma on this show other than trying to find a little bit of truth. Here's another quote. "I'm not going to wait for a green light," this guy. I'm rereading the other one because that's blowing my mind. He's not waiting for a green light? So, let's see. I guess Bush should have waited for a green light? I don't understand. Do you understand that? Should Bush not have waited for a green light? Well, he didn't wait for a green light. "It was local law enforcement working with our intelligence services which caught Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Ramzi bin al-Saab in Pakistan and the murderer known as Hambali in Thailand. Joining with local police forces didn't mean serving these terrorists with legal papers. It meant throwing them behind bars. None of the progress we've made would have been possible without cooperation, and much more would be possible if we had a president who didn't alienate long-time friends and fuel anti-American anger around the world." What? He just gets done talking about something that Bush effected, the capture of these terrorists, using local police agencies. But I guess we could do a whole lot more if we did what? If we were good pals with the frogs? Look, doesn't he understand that it is in the interest of the French and the Germans and everybody else to bust terrorists in their country? Why is that, Phil? Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll blow something up in their country. This isn't about us getting alliances going. They don't want to help us. They want to help themselves. And when they don't need to help themselves, there's no need to help America. Look, at the French and the Germans made it very clear years before any of this happened, they wanted to create a new kind of European counterbalance to America's economic power in the world. They want to become to America what the Soviet Union was at one time. Not necessarily a hostile military enemy, but definitely an alternative to America's way of doing things. Now, here's the one that's going to just make you laugh. If you've been listening, this is what John Kerry is saying. And this is, like I said, this is 2 months old. Third, we must cut off the flow of terrorist funds. In the case of Saudi Arabia, the Bush administration has adopted a kid-glove approach to the supply and laundering of terrorist money. If I am president, we will impose tough financial sanctions against nations or banks that engage in money laundering or fail to act against it. We will launch a name and shame campaign against those that are financing terror. And if they do not respond, they'll be shut out of the U.S. financial system. All right. And this is going to go along with your multilateral approach. Is that it? Hey, how many people and how many alliances are you going to shred, Mr. Kerry, by that approach? Saudi Arabia, I don't love them. I can't stand those ragheads, believe me, okay? I understand what the president's doing as far as Saudi Arabia goes, because that's where we get all of our oil. Do you understand? You have to do business with the people that are doing business. Or to put it another way, you don't where you eat. Now, if you want to get tough with the Saudis, I'm all in favor of it. But understand what it's going to mean. It's going to mean even more hostility from that part of the world. What, are you going to make friends doing that? Here's a guy that doesn't want us in Iraq because it's shredded all kinds of alliances and made us disrespected around the world. How the hell do you think it's going to make us look at the Arab world? We start pushing the Saudi Arabians around, even though they are a bunch of raghead monarchists who have absolutely no democratic tradition. They don't have any democratic tradition in the Middle East. They don't care to have a democratic tradition in the Middle East. The people don't know what the hell that is. When you say to them democracy, they think you might as well be talking about See's candies. They don't know what it is. You're talking about refried goat meat. Now, speaking of the Saudis, something happened over the weekend. There was a terrorist attack. I really don't want to say that I'm happy any time I see a terrorist attack. But I got to tell you something. If ever there was a country where a terrorist attack would do some good, it's Saudi Arabia. And I'll tell you why. The Saudis are now caught. They can keep on pretending that it's the Zionists that are doing it. In other words, they can live in that hallucinogenic world that that the Arabs have lived in, which is it's all the Israelis' fault. Now, of course, they don't believe that. They say that for popular consumption. They say that they hate terrorists and they're Zionists because if they say that they're actually homegrown Arabs, who knows, man, it might get the people who live in Saudi Arabia on the side of the terrorists, the Wahhabi Al-Qaeda terrorists. So now they're in a fix. They got to deal with these guys. They tried to strike a truce with Al-Qaeda because Saudi Arabia as a government is not a strong one. Their security operation is not strong. Their military is not strong. All they got is a whole lot of money, lots and lots of Mercedes, a whole bunch of racehorses, lots of trips to America and to Disney World, and they're just living in la-la freaking land, baby. Now they got Al-Qaeda breathing down their necks. They tried to strike a truce with them. It ain't working. So this means one of two things. It doesn't mean getting in bed with the United States, because if you get into bed with us in terms of fighting terrorism, you know what it's going to mean. It means our guys are going to go in there. It means American troops, even more than are on Saudi soil right now. They can't do that. They're going to get help from the other Arab countries? Forget it. It's never happened in the history of the Middle East. In the history of the Middle East, they've never come to each other's aid for anything. You going to let Al-Qaeda take over? Personally, I prefer that. I would like Al-Qaeda to take over in Saudi Arabia because that would make the job very, very crystal clear. It would make it very crystal clear as to what we had to do. Now you got to, if you want to find Al-Qaeda, if you want to go after them, they're going to be running a whole freaking country. And a country that's got all the oil. As far as I'm concerned, man, I'd like nothing better than for Al-Qaeda to take over Saudi Arabia. We go in, we make about 3 weeks of work of that toilet, take over the oil fields, and this time, with all due respect to our fine Arab friends, we don't man them with just the man on the street. We get some professional workers, international American oil workers. We get that pipeline going, baby. Hey, we own the oil. I think I like that. I think I love you, Al-Qaeda.
Maybe you like this.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could see that coming a mile away.
How do you like that?
You know, that's the only thing you got to say tonight. Yeah, just run in here and throw that in.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Anyway, get back to the Olympics. Yeah, it sounds like a real party to me. Why would anybody want to go to the Olympics? The last I heard, they were telling the Americans to stick the flags back in the briefcase and just walk around with their heads dipped down like somebody's leading them off to the gallows. Yeah, woohoo! Let's go to the Olympics and party! But remember, don't be too loud about it and keep the noise down and go to bed before 10 and let's just keep the, let's make sure the terrorists don't even know we're here. Yeah. And they killed it. I mean, it, if you ask my opinion, and there was a time when I believed like everybody else that it was only right that we should have our professional athletes there because everybody else had their professional athletes and why can't we have our best fighting their best? And then I realized that our best are better than anybody, so why not have... It's like our amateurs are good enough. Our amateurs are good enough. I mean, you know, America is always... Like I said, man, and I've always said this, America is the adult and all the other countries are the children. And it's like we're a single parent. You know, we're a single parent household and we've got a whole bunch... We're like old Mother Hubbard lived in the shoe. She had so many kids, she didn't know what to do. So she killed a few of them and ate them. Now, I think because we're the adult on the street, then we have to show that, okay,
tell you what we'll do.
Don't you ever play with your kids and you have to, like, do it with one arm behind your back? Like, I'll play with my daughter and my son in the pool, and they'll want me to play monster or some stupid thing. So I got to do it at,
you got to do it at 25% power.
That's the, because everything with kids nowadays is video game language.
Do it at 25% of your power.
Okay, you know, I'll come toward them, but I got to do it like, you know, and then they are able to, like, put a finger in my chest, and that kills me. There are all these little rules that we have. And then my son came up with a thing. He, like, torpedoes me in the stomach, and that kills me. Then if they touch my ear, that kills me. Then, you know, so, and the only way I can kill them is if I pick them up physically and throw them out of the pool. Then that's, so the whole, the game's rigged against you, man. And, you know, you just realize it's rigged against you. The fact of the matter is the game's been rigged against us for a long time. I'm just not talking about the Olympics either. I'm talking about everything. Well, how can you possibly say that, Henry? How can you say the game is rigged against America? We invented the game. Well, here's where I'll say it's rigged against us. We can't get away with anything that other countries get to get away with. We're not allowed to be involved in the political intrigue of other countries without being called a massive terrorist and war criminal. Other countries, however, they get to do that. How long do you think the French have been manipulating the political situation in Haiti, for instance, huh? Oh, just thought about that one, huh? They've got cultural and political ties to Haiti to go back decades. And they've been screwing that situation up to their own benefit for a long time. Same thing with the British. Same thing with every country in the Middle East. The Chinese. Oh, man, the Chinese. Oh, baby. They run the show down there in Southeast Asia, and they're making their money on it, too. But only America gets indicted for all this stuff. We're the only ones doing it in the minds of the very simple-minded. So now we get to the Olympics. Why not just, you know, the rest of the stuff, I think fair is fair. But as far as the Olympics go, I could give up. I don't care, man. Stick the amateurs back in there. Let's fight them with our hand tied behind our back. Our amateur basketball players have done very, very well. And quite frankly, they care. The pros don't care. The professional basketball players, they got about as much pride as you can stick in a thimble. The only thing they care about is a fat freaking paycheck. And, you know, I understand that that's what it's about. But don't tell me that it's pride, man, when half of these guys are staying away from the Olympics anyway. They want to win their NBA ring, and then they want to go kick at some place in Cancun. But they're men. They're like all other men. They're scared. They're just scared. Send the college kids, man. They want to play.
And, you know, it might even be interesting. Who knows? They might even say, hey, screw all of this keep the flag hidden thing. Maybe they'll wave the flag. And who cares if they boo? The greatest thing that's been achieved since 9/11 is the idea that America is the real evil. This is something that, you know, this is amazing. But it doesn't really surprise me if you think about it. Of course we're going to be the evil person, man. We're like mommy. We didn't do something right, and so everything fell apart, okay? We didn't do this. We didn't lock the door. We didn't buy the right kind of ice cream. We didn't get the right kind of food. We didn't get the right kind of this. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. And, of course, it's all our fault. So, cool, man. I say we get to be the adults, which means, okay, we'll fight you in a pool with one head tied behind our back, but then we get to beat the crap out of you when you feel like it. Or when we feel like it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, time now for the Phil Hendry Show mailbag, where we read emails. After culling the several that we get in, we go through the very deep pile of six or seven that we get, and we find the very best ones to read to you. But since we only get six or seven, we read all of them. Phil, my son is in the 3rd ID, that would be Infantry Division. When they first got to Hussein's Palace, there were fresh victims. He had to remove human remains from animal cages. Where are the photos? Where are the stories? Hey guys, the last couple of shows with Michael Moore's interview and the review of Madonna's show had me laughing so hard I almost made mud. I will probably listen to both shows over 100 times each, but referring to Madonna as cloven-hooved was hysterical. Thank you for the laughs, Larry. Phil, I love you, but coming down on 80s metal seems a little hypocritical as I just heard Anthrax's Indians used as a bumper. I'll be the first to admit that bands like Winger and Dokken and Warrant and Cinderella and Bullet Boys were all kind of gay, but there was a whole other metal in the 80s, and that wasn't hair bands and the like. Why, the thrash metal movement with bands like Metallica and Slayer and Anthrax are some of the bands you use as bumper music for your show. I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel like satire when you come back from a commercial with raining blood. It's mighty effective. And coming down on Danzig because he works out, you watch football. At least Glenn writes songs and stays out of jail. Fight your homophobia and break out Danzig 2. Lucifuge, Danzig 2, Lucifuge, and listen to some real devil-worshipping 80s metal. Hail Satan, Michael. Thank you, Michael. Hey, Phil, I'm the offspring of the boomers, come from a religious background, and have never partaken of alcohol or drugs in my life. I do believe human beings as we know them are a result of alien alteration of earthly life forms, probably apes. How else do you explain the existence of Steven Tyler? Rick. Hey, Phil, I don't know when it was done, but it's one of my favorites. Lloyd doesn't give out Halloween candy and wants kids to get the hell off of his property. He continually gives out coordinates for his property. I remember this. He continually gives out coordinates for his property line and announces several times that he contracted syphilis at 14 years of age. Phil, I listen to classic bits while I work out, and you make me laugh every time. Thank God for your humor, Jim. Actually, we did that show several years before we were syndicated nationally, and it was a very sweet thing. Hello, Phil. I'm a nightly fan and catch your show on the way home after work between 9 and 10 from downtown Los Angeles. I heard your comments this evening implying disbelief about a man blinking his eyes after being beheaded. That is indeed founded in fact. The man was Antoine Lavoisier, founder of modern chemistry, a man devoted to science and logic. He was found guilty of treason against France only because he was an aristocrat during the Reign of Terror. Lavoisier was sentenced to death. Lavoisier asked a friend to keep him company while he stood in line to be executed and further asked his friend to be a witness to his death. Lavoisier promised that if possible, he would blink his eyes as long as he could. When Lavoisier was beheaded, his head laid in a basket staring straight at his friend. The witness noted Lavoisier blinked 13 times, which is about 13 seconds. Thanks for your time. With respect, Lloyd Adams.
Bull crap! Are you trying to tell me that the guy... Okay, like, go! Blink, 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 blink. That's our mailbag on the Phil Henry Show.
I just think a lot of that stuff, you know, if you get your head cut off, do you still blink? Are you still alive? Maybe. I don't know. If the brain is, it contains all of the neural pathways that register awareness, sight, taste. In other words, the brain is the brain. Yeah, I suppose you're alive for a while, but it's not getting oxygen or blood, and so it's going to... Boy, I just hope I don't ever go that way, I'll tell you that. Jeez. That's sick. Hey, man, would you mind coming with me while I get beheaded? And after I do, and the head stared right at him. What? Would you please look up the name Antoine Lavoris, or whatever this cat's name is, and find out whether or not this guy's for real? First of all, what luck, man. I got beheaded, and my head just was staring right at my friend, so he didn't have to, like, what if the thing landed face down? What if the head just rolled face down? What if it rolled to the side? What if the guy had to go around and... No, it just happened to fall staring right at him. All right, our number is 1-800... Well, you know what? It's possible. 1-800-449-8686.
I got it.
What?
I got the Antoine Lavoisier. Here it is.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you could tell, you could see that coming a mile away. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time for our entertainment report now on the Phil Henry Show, brought to you by marijuana. Be sure to smoke some as soon as you can. You know who really dresses well? And I have here a copy of The Star. You know who's got great taste in... You know how they have Mr. Blackwell's best dressed? I want to do Mr. Henry's best dressed. Dolly Parton never fails to please. I'm looking at a picture of Dolly Parton, who is now 78 years old, and she's wearing a pair of brown boots that come up to the mid-shin area. They're big heel boots, and they have like a some kind of a Scottish plaid design at the top of them. Then she's wearing some, I guess they're denim pants that go up to a belt with a huge belt buckle that looks like a saw blade. She's carrying with her a purse made out of an axe. Honest to God, the axe part, that's the purse part, and it's got a big handle, but that doesn't keep her from holding it by the chain. She's wearing a jean jacket, and then a hat that is also a plaid hat that looks like it could be a lumberjack's hat. Oh, I get it. It's a lumberjack thing that she's doing. Oh, okay. Well, I'm telling you right now, she is one fine, fine-looking woman, Dolly Parton. And right next, you know who's just as gorgeous a woman has ever been created is Ashley Judd, and she's in a really beautiful blue dress. Now, right there, that's what I'm talking about right there. See?
That's taste.
Now, I got to tell you a little bit of news here from China. The Chinese government has told Britney Spears, while she performs in China, now this is from Shanghai, China, there will be Chinese troops stationed at the front and rear of both the Beijing and Shanghai venues. If any clothes come off, if any attempt is made to emulate or to replicate the Janet Jackson fiasco at the Super Bowl, they'll open fire. And they said, and I'm quoting from the Chinese Ministry of the Defense, we'll kill every living thing we see. So that's great. So Britney Spears is going to be performing in China, and if any of her clothes come off, she'll be shot through with a 7.62. All right. Now, looking in the This Week Star, we always look for the most invasive, insulting photograph because these guys never fail to satisfy. Now, 2 weeks ago, do you remember the picture they had 2 weeks ago? I think it was Matthew Perry, recently of the show Friends. Now, these guys don't have a job. He's sitting at a tennis tournament, leaning back with his hand shoved right down into his pants. One thing that any woman who lives with a man knows, for some reason, men are always with their hand in their pants. It's just the way it is. Maybe it's a security thing. I don't know what it is. But to sit there in full view, I had a friend of mine once sitting in a bar, drinking a beer, facing the dance floor with his hand down his pants. And I finally said to him, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just looking for change.
It's warm down there.
It's warm down there. Wear gloves then. So that was last week's photo. This week's photo, I think, the winner is Deborah Messing. What show is she on?
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace. Deborah Messing with her brand new baby. And these were exclusive photos that some photographer just intruded on their privacy and wouldn't leave them alone. And they finally got the shot they wanted. She had her back to the camera, and her rear end is about, I'd say 3 feet wide. The woman just had a baby. She was trying to, I'm sure, be nice. That doesn't look like there's any real rancor going on there, but they're trying to, enjoy a family time, and there's a photographer there. Just as soon as she turned her back, click, and the butt on her goes on for miles. So that's this week's winner in Can You Make Me Look Worse? Globe Magazine. Thank you very much. Now, I did go through a few others. There's the obligatory long-range shot of somebody in a bikini. There's one here of Jennifer Aniston in a bikini. Like, that's some kind of big deal. I mean, she looks fine. There's another one of Justin Timberlake who looks a little drunk sitting at the side of a pool with his big cross tattoo. And a few others, but that one, I think, is the winner. The one of Deborah Messing's rear end. They don't call her Messing for nothing. All right, one other item here in the news. This isn't exactly entertainment related, although I guess the cops thought it was funny. Some Australian cops were giving crap to some American students in Western Australia. Apparently, they were off-duty drunk cops, and they were telling our students that they shouldn't be in Australia and that we shouldn't be in Iraq. And they basically taunted these students with Yankee, go home and get the hell out of here and your mama too. All kinds of stuff. West Australian police are investigating claims that 7 of their own officers and 2 from NSW, whatever that is, taunted and humiliated American university students in Fremantle. A cop spokesman said today internal affairs were looking into an alleged incident involving off-duty officers. Said several people have been interviewed by the police over the incident. I don't know whether this happened or not. It probably did. I mean, come on. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it happen? That's the, prove it happened, Phil. Prove it didn't. Now, remember, these are the same Australians who had, 400 of their own people butchered up in that Bali bombing, and yet they're asking about why we're in Iraq and, why don't we go home and we're screwing the world up. I mean, like I said, man, you want a big yellow stripe? Go on down under. Go on down under there, yank. I got something for you to yank. Throw another shrimp on a Barbie. One thing to remember about Australia, folks, it was originally a prison colony. So every descendant of those prisoners living there basically has miscreant blood flowing through their veins. In other words, they're nothing but animals down there. Animals trying to replicate themselves as a civilized country. Why, I remember years ago the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but you can tell, you can see that.
Get David on the phone and turn it off. You were boring.
Get David on the phone.
But you were boring. You were boring.
Get him on the phone.
Here he is.
What do you want now?
What, are you still in the tub?
Yes, I'm in the tub. What do you want?
Every time I'm talking now, this kid's playing that thing of me, talking about how the Lakers couldn't get out of the Western Conference.
Well, he had to.
Why?
Because you're boring.
What do you mean I'm boring? I'm talking about the New Zealand thing.
Oh, woohoo! We're talking about the new... The what?
It was some cops in Australia.
Well, I heard it. Sucks. So Bud's under direct orders that when you start to get dull, he'll play that.
I'm sorry, Phil, but you told me.
Me making a stupid prediction about the Lakers.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's the most entertaining thing on your show tonight.
When I get dull, he's going to play that?
Yeah, he told me, when you get dull, I got to play it.
All right, so, because it's beautiful stuff. There you are talking about how the Lakers won't get out of the Western Conference. Not only are they getting out of the Western Conference, they're going to win the NBA title. Wow!
It is pretty stupid, Phil.
Okay, thank you.
And don't ever ask me why I'm still in the tub.
You said you were pruning.
Well, I put some mineral salts in here.
Anyway, as I was saying, there... What, David?
One other thing. I want you to remember that when Bud acts on my instruction, I'm not to be interrupted again. Don't ever call me while I'm in the tub doing the things that I'm doing.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Well, if you must know, I was listening to your show. Oh, my God, the radio just slipped in.
Dad, that was great.
Fortuitous.
Yeah, that's a good word, Bud. All right, anyway, so the Australian police decided to...
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Turn it off. So that was boring, huh?
Every time you say something dull.
Julia Roberts has just had twins.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Sorry.
How do you know that's going to be dull, man?
You said Julia Roberts, didn't you?
Yeah?
It's dull.
I was going to talk about her having
babies. I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, that was me making a prediction.
By the way,
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Sorry. You got to get something interesting, Mr. Hall said.
All right, how about this? Terry Nichols, as you know, was indicted along with Timothy McVeigh for the murder of...
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference. They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take any particular joy in that, but I need to tell you can see
like that
coming
part.
A mile away.
What an idiot.
Okay, Bud, I get the point, man.
Show's a little dull tonight.
Little dull, huh? I think it's going along swimmingly. I think we've had a great many wonderful moments.
I told you the Lakers weren't getting out of the Western Conference.
Come on, will you, man?
They ain't getting out of the Western Conference. And it's not that I take
any particular
joy in that, but you can tell, you can see.
I thought you just electrocuted yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm unelectrocuted. I don't stay electrocuted for... Ow, 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 ow.
All right, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. What? Every guy that I get on the phone tonight is taking a bath. What is this, bath night? All over America, man. Email address phs@philhenryshow.com. And don't forget our website is www.philhenryshow.com. And we have got a great souvenir shop there for you to pick up. Not only our, you know, our Father's Day cooler. I could just tell you about some of the stuff we have on our website. We've got our shot glasses. We have the Phil Henry Show store. We have T-shirts and hats. We've got our new I Love Phil women's T-shirt. We've got our gardening set. And while you're at our website, you might want to check out the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. The Best of 2003 CD is available for sale, and all the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And you know what we ought to do is buy a whole bunch and send them on over to those Marines over there that are wanting to hear our material. How the hell do we do that? I guess I'll just buy a whole bunch, send them on over there to that second Marine Amphibious Unit that's on our homepage there at www.philhenryshow.com. See you tomorrow.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.